Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, everybody. You know, they say every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. And every time I watch a direct-to-video sequel or a made-for-TV sequel, a little part of my heart dies. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the All Too Real 2 podcast. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is my co-host. All right, hold on a second. Sounded really weird.
Okay. Yeah. Very staticky.
Yeah, hold on a second, okay. Folks. Might have to get some silence here.
Sure.
Okay, everybody. You know, they say every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. And every time I watch a direct-to-video sequel or made-for-TV sequel, a little part of my heart dies.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael E. Cullen II. Welcome to the All Too Real 2 podcast. And with me, as always, is my co-host,
Matthew Haas.
Are you okay, Matt?
No, a little bit, I guess.
Okay.
I don't like watching these movies. They make me sad.
But why do we keep doing it?
We like to torment ourselves.
Yes, we do.
That's what it is.
So, today, folks, you can probably tell by the description on the episode or whatever, but we watched the 1990 made-for-TV movie called Clarence, which is a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life?
I guess.
Yeah.
I think it is, technically. Yeah. 46 years in the making, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it was written by Lauren Cameron and David Hosseltine, directed by Eric Till, and starring Robert Carradine of Revenge of the Nerds fame, mm-hmm. and Lizzie McGuire fame later.
Mm-hmm. Much later.
Yeah.
Well, not that much later, like 10 years yeah. later.
So this was, 1990. Yeah, it was made for the Family Channel, which is now Freeform.
I think Family Channel is a way better name than Freeform.
Yeah, well, they had to kind of change it because they weren't really just focusing on family-type programming. Okay. So I think that's why they changed it. I don't know. You got to refresh things every so often to keep people interested.
Yeah.
Boy. So where do we start with this, Matt?
How about we start with the really bad intro with the stupid heavenly music and mm-hmm. the cloudy fog effect that they have going on in heaven.
Yeah.
Apparently. Like, that's what heaven looks like, is a bunch of fog.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like a great place. I mean, I guess it's better than the alternative.
So that mean like London is heaven or something?
I guess so.
Or...
And, oh, also, we can start off with that.
Is that why they cancel school when it's really foggy?
Yeah,
out?
I think so. Because
it's too heavenly?
It's heavenly. And you don't have to go to school when you're in heaven. So just get to do whatever you want. But and apparently whatever you want to do is to talk to a child that has the most fucked up voice I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, there's... So okay, first off, folks. Now, In It's a Wonderful Life, Clarence Oddbody was played by, middle-aged to old man. Yeah, in this movie, he's like maybe 40-something, played by Robert Carradine. And so they explain this away as that Angel's basically Benjamin Button it up. And they de-age as they get older. So, which is just weird because, you know, I grew up Catholic and the whole idea of heaven is like a timeless place that doesn't really depend on aging or de-aging or time going by or anything like that. It's kind of like, you know, you're there and time kind of stands still. And
an existence outside of time and space.
Yes.
Both. So,
but somehow you can de-age, I guess, you know?
So that means he's like super old then. That kid. He's like the oldest angel there
is. Yeah, so Joseph is this kid who was, you know, a voice in the first movie. He was the angel that sent Clarence to take care of George Bailey in the first movie, played by Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, you know.
Yeah, okay. So in this movie, Joseph is, I don't know who played Joseph in the first movie, but in this movie it's a kid named Jason McSkimming. That's his name, Jason McSkimming. He's a it sounds like the whole time when they're doing this, whenever he's on screen, like his voice is being dubbed by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or later, like they did a dialogue re-record. I'm wondering honestly if his voice changed during filming and they had to do that.
I know, but what's with the weird effect though? It's got like this flanger type of thing going on.
Well, I think it might just be because it was recorded later, so it's got this kind of weird sound to it. I don't know.
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure though.
It just has this weird. Anyway, so
they're like, I've seen that in other movies where, I mean, and I've seen it in movies I've even made where we had to re-record the dialogue and it was kind of, you could tell.
Like almost like the audio is too good like you could tell that someone's at a microphone recording it instead of speaking it out loud. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Almost like it's too good for what should be happening.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, and it can be done really well because there's a lot of movies that they make in Hollywood that almost the whole movie is redone, like a lot of action films specifically, because, you know, when you got a lot of special effects happening and things blowing up and stuff, you got to re-record the dialogue because you're not going to be able to record it on set
with all that noise. Yeah, that's what they did for the Voldemort Origins movie, the YouTube fan created movie.
Yeah, they re-recorded all the audio. Well, later
I think it was mostly an Italian film.
Yeah,
and so they dubbed it in English, I think.
But they're speaking in English in the movie though too.
Oh, they were?
I mean, I've watched part of it.
Oh, I thought it was Italian. I don't know, maybe it wasn't an Italian film that was speaking English.
Or maybe they were Italian actors and they had them redubbed with American voice actors or something. I don't know what it was, but I know what you mean. It did seem kind of like it was re-recorded.
Some of it seemed like it was fine, but there's this dude who like just died, I guess, and he's talking to Joseph about, you know, like how to save his family, you know, because I don't know how the guy knows this. Maybe Joseph told him that his wife's going to commit suicide. Again, how would they know this is going to happen? I have no idea. So,
well, if you go by the real logic, you know, there's no time and
there's no time and space. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would know everything. But why do they de-age?
But Joseph only, the de-aged Joseph only tells him this amount of information. And then, as like some cruel joke, then tells him, oh, by the way, we don't have any guardian angels to help you. I'm just going to tell you this information, this terrible information, mm-hmm. and then no way to help you out.
Heaven's out of, you know, heaven's running low on guardian angels.
Yeah, apparently.
Like I said, you know, when we were watching it, you know, it's like the Titanic didn't have enough lifeboats and heaven doesn't have enough angels. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I don't know.
that's a great comment. It's just like, what the hell? So then they're like, oh, well, there's Clarence, but he doesn't do anything anymore because he the last time he tried to help someone, he screwed it up really bad, and then now he feels bad about it, so he just does nothing in heaven, essentially. He just sits
plays
around.
With clocks.
That's what he does. He's just some like freeloader playing with clocks. It sounds bad, but
playing with clocks in a place that doesn't have time,
yeah,
or, and out of exactly. time or space because you need clocks
what
there.
The fuck?
I don't get this.
He's like the Arthur Weasley of heaven, like,
yeah,
with the muggle technology. He's like, it's a weird example, but
like, we're just gonna keep making Harry yeah, Potter references.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's what he is, though. And then, so then he sends the guy over to talk to Clarence. And then Clarence finally agrees to, you know, help, you know, save his wife from, you know, killing herself. And the only way to do that is to stop her from going into a cab because she's going to try to sell the company that they started together. Because she was an artist and she drew this picture that was supposed to look kind of like her soon-to-be husband who proposed, well, I guess not. Is it a proposition when you tell the woman that she has to marry you?
Yeah.
Which is what he did.
Right after he insulted her artwork.
Yeah. He goes, well, you know, he's not very much to look at, is he? I guess he insulted himself a little bit, though.
Yeah, but at first he's like, do you think that really looks like me?
Right, right. And then he goes, well, he's not much to look at. And then she's kind of like, well, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah. So he, quote, proposes to her. You know, and then she names him Dexter, the character, not the TV show Dexter. That would be kind of creepy. But
why she named him Dexter, I don't know. And her husband's name was Jeremy.
Who knows? Yeah, she called him Dexter. And then she wrote a children's book based off that character, and it became like a big hit. And they turned it into like a whole business. And then right before he died, they were going to try to make Dexter into a video game character that was voice activated. Because apparently in 1990, that was like all the rage. If you didn't have a voice-activated game, you were out of the gaming business. Like,
well, my theory on it is something like, you know, this is around the time of like a little bit mid-Teddy Ruxpin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking that around 1990, you know, people would want to have something that can interact with you somehow. I guess.
Yeah, that's probably what they were going. And plus, because he was like an educational game too.
Yeah.
He wasn't like meant to like, it wasn't like a standard video game of like shoot 'em up or beat 'em up or whatever. It was like an educational thing. And then of course, and then just as they were about to, you know, get this off the ground, Jeremy was his name? Jeremy? Yeah. Jeremy ended up striking this deal with this guy to have him invest in their game instead of their competitor, who's like this typical sleazy business guy stereotype or whatever. And then he has a heart attack right after like the phone call or that day or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he dies. So then she was going to sell the company. And then apparently after she did that, everything was going to like spiral and she was eventually commit suicide. So the plan was to get her from not going into the cab and then somehow that would then put everything else in a different whatever
trajectory or something. Yeah,
that's like that's the basic plot, basically.
Yeah, and so
basically
Clarence basically wait no so Clarence comes down to Earth literally not he tries to stop the cab, but on his way he ends up getting bumped into by a bank robber who's got a bunch of money in his hands, and the bank robber drops some of the money. So Clarence tries to give it back to him because he doesn't understand this idea that robbery's bad and stuff, or that the guy was robbing the bank. He thought that was just the guy's money, and then he insulted him because he was wearing a weird hat, which was actually just a stocking on his face, so he couldn't. Yeah.
Right. My question is, so Clarence was in the first one, right, though? Okay, and he was the angel in that one, or?
He was an angel, but he's barely in It's a Wonderful Life.
But was he on Earth, though, or was he in heaven?
He was on Earth, but not that long.
Basically,
in It's a Wonderful Life, it's probably around the midpoint of the movie, or not even there, more towards the end of the movie.
Okay.
See, Clarence basically tells the story of George Bailey's life from heaven,
oh, okay.
First off. To, you know,
him and Joseph are telling the story to each other, and they're just voices. And then Clarence, George tries to jump off a bridge to kill himself because he's got money issues, and because his uncle Billy's a dumbass.
Fucking Uncle Billy. I was watching that Onion interview again.
Yeah,
talking about the dipshit Uncle Billy. How do you? This has weight. How do you not feel? I know. A big stack of cash.
I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about so never put money in a newspaper.
Yeah.
Because like bad things happen after you do that. You get murdered in a shower like in Psycho, or you lose the money to Mr. Potter.
Potter, there we go.
And It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, anyway, so basically Clarence comes in that point, he jumps into the water before George does, so George goes in and saves him. And then basically saves himself. But then George wishes that he wasn't never born. And then Clarence shows him what the world would be like if he wasn't born.
Okay.
So, which doesn't really happen in this movie at all. So
good. So he wouldn't know what a bank robbery was. I was wondering because I'm like, if he's already been on Earth, he should know about money and stuff like that.
But you think that. My thing is like, you think somebody up in heaven would know what the fuck is going on Earth. I'm just saying, because it's. I don't know.
And where's God in all this?
Yeah.
Is it just a heaven without God? Just angels just happen to just roam around?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know. And is Joseph, like, is that, like, you know, Joseph,
is that
the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat Joseph? Or is it, like, Mary's husband Joseph? Or is it just...
It's just some random dude.
Random dude named Joseph.
And probably just a random dude.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. It's just so weird. My main thing is I think up in heaven, if I was up in heaven and, I'm sure you'd be able to watch the world below. I mean, I'd be tuning into that shit every day. Like it's General Hospital or something. You know what I mean? I'm just saying it's just
what's going on with like planet Earth today.
I mean, it's like a literal as the world turns.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but the whole thing, it's just weird that what he doesn't know and what he doesn't understand.
Like the vacuum cleaner, that's another thing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm getting until you.
No, I know, but it's fine. But anyways, he stops this bank robber basically because he thinks he's helping him, and then Rachel gets into the cab, and he ends up going to the frickin', gets in another cab and follows her, and. He gives all the money to the cab driver when they get to the boardroom, the office where the boardroom is that where Rachel is going to sign away Dexter to this sleazy Mr. Potter type guy. And actually kind of a Trumpian guy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He looks a little bit like Fred Trump.
Yeah, dad. He does.
I'm thinking 1990. Maybe they were going for that type of thing.
Who knows? I don't know. But he's trying to make video games great again, and so Clarence stops the thing and he eats the contract
because they can't print out another one, like you said.
Yeah,
like that's the one. Because that's impossible. Contract.
So I never understood. Like you know, I remember in movies they'll do that all the time. Like somebody will rip up the contract after it's signed or whatever, and I'm just like. Usually there's a copy.
Right.
But, so anyways, he stops that, and then he basically becomes, he calls Rachel Ricky, which was the nickname that her husband Jeremy had for her.
This is where it gets weird, too.
Yeah, and then he says, oh, I'm an old friend of your husband's. And then
she believes him.
And then she's like, oh, you must be from his hometown. So, and then later, and then he goes to the house and he meets the kids and stuff like that. And he knows that the daughter's the husband's nickname for the daughter was Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
And he calls her that.
She's like 6 years old or 5 years old.
Yeah. And
we were talking about this. What hometown friend do you just call up randomly that you don't even talk to your wife about that you even know this person?
Yeah, because she didn't know him.
And he, like, who, like, oh, I'm just going to tell them my wife's pet name and my daughter's pet yeah. name. But I'm not going to tell my family that I know this person, that I'm talking about them, too.
I mean, I mean, like, Matt, you're one of my best friends.
Right.
There are things about you I probably don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
There are things about me you don't know. You don't know what you don't know what the nickname that I called my niece when she was a baby.
Right, I don't.
No, so
and we don't know each other for like 14 years.
Yeah, so
as opposed to this guy.
Yeah, who it just doesn't make sense.
And she just believes him. That's the, and she invites him to live with them essentially, mm-hmm. even before she took him to the house. She's like, oh well. You know, surely you got a place to stay. And he's like, I think so. And she's like, oh, well, just stay with us. I'm like, wow, okay. So some stranger that just you say that you knew her late husband, no proof whatsoever. It's like that Aladdin movie, the really crappy one where the guy impaled himself on the sword, whatever his name was. Just says, oh, I'm your husband's brother. Never talks about me ever, but, you know, believe me.
What was the daughter's name?
Was it Tracy?
I don't know.
I don't remember now. I think it was Tracy.
I'm not sure, but
Casey. Hmm. It was Casey.
Oh, okay. Because I'm trying to figure this out because I was looking at the cast and Rachel Blanchard was in this. And she's, I wonder who she played. She played somebody named Jill. Who was Jill?
Who was the actress? I don't know who you're talking about. Well,
it'd be hard to say because I only got modern pictures of her. But Rachel Blanchard was in, she was in the TV show Psych. She's currently on, was she on Psych? Let me see. Yeah, she was on Psych. She also used to be on the TV show Clueless. She was the main chick on there. She replaced Alicia Silverstone's character.
I don't know.
Anyways, I don't know, but I just thought I saw her name in the credits and I was like on IMDb and I was just trying to figure out who she played. I thought maybe she was the little girl, but no.
There was no other little girl though.
No, and I don't know. Anyways, might have been one of, maybe it was the cheerleader chick or something.
Oh, yeah, there were some cheerleaders at one point.
Yeah.
This is a weird movie.
It is. So, anyways, what happens next then?
Well, after knowing this person for 45 minutes, she invites him to live with them. And her daughter feigns sickness the next day and says, oh, Clarence can babysit me because we've known him for 12 hours at this point. And then mother's like, oh, sure, makes sense. Just let him watch you. And then I'm blanking. She goes to work. He makes her soup or something by learning. He's like learning all these new devices, like the electric can opener, the vacuum cleaner. She thinks he's an angel because she's got like this book of like mythical creatures, and she's like is testing to see if he's an angel, like by saying that, you know, angels can't lie. So she's asking him all these questions, and he's giving her like these kind of like nuanced answers, like where he's not totally lying. Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about. I think she was one of the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
She
might have been that one that was flirting with him.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah, that's right. Logan or whatever.
Brent Logan. His last name was Logan, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Brent Logan. And he takes, I'm trying to remember, does he take, is that the day that Brent skips school? And then he had to then pretend to be him, but no.
Yeah.
He went to see Brent at school, didn't he?
Yeah, and he basically who was with him?
Casey was. Was that the day that she said she was sick?
And she came with him because he was watching her while she was staying home from school.
Okay, yeah. So then
that was like right away. Like you just met this dude, and like a day later, you're going to entrust your child.
It wasn't
to
even
him.
A day. It was like 12 hours later. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Like it's like, oh, sure, you go ahead and watch her. What? What? Who does that? Obviously, this woman does, but... And then, yeah, so then he, like, went to go, give Brent, like, a big, you know, man-to-man speech or whatever about, you know, taking responsibility, and he's the man of the house, because, you know, this is 1990, but apparently, you know, even back then, it was still kind of like, you know, you're the man in the house now. Who cares if you're only 15 fucking years old and your mom runs a business? You're the man in the house. You got to take. So then, you know, this dipshit thinks what that means is to go apply for a job and not go to his fucking classes at school. So then Clarence has got to drag his ass away from his new home with his new stepdaughter, apparently. I don't know. And then we'll get to that part later. And then Brent, whatever his name is, you know, he's going to go apply for jobs now. He's not going to go to class. So then he's got to go pretend to be Brent and goes to his English class because his English teacher, by the way, this English teacher is like a really angry person. Like,
he's a dick.
He goes from like, from like you said, like 0 to like 100 in like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like he'll be like stern for a second and then all of a sudden he'll just go into like a full on rage, like screaming session. It's like, holy shit, dude. So he blows the teacher away with his Mark Twain trivia as Clarence, but pretending to be Brent. Yeah.
So why don't we take a break right now?
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, so I need a break from this movie for a second.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to some nice little ads and services here. And we'll be right back.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guest every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Okay, we're back, I think. Are we back, Matt? So, basically, at this point in the wonderful movie Clarence, made for TV movie sequel to It's a Wonderful Life, 1990, starring Robert Carradine. Anyways, Clarence is posing as Brent, the teenage kid, makes him good at football. Runs all the way home, Forrest Gump.
He vanishes himself 3 times
and nobody notices.
They don't think that's weird. That person can just disappear.
Happens all the time.
Apparently, Earth is like a kind of a magical place in this movie too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he runs all the way home, changes back into what?
Clarence. Clothes. Yeah, and realizes that he had almost accidentally shredded a bunch of important papers for the business or some bullshit, and there's a bunch of like shredded paper on the floor. Yeah. Like way too much, more than could possibly have ever been. Mm-hmm. You know, it's reminded me of that scene in that Brady Bunch when they put too much soap in the laundry.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
In the laundry machine. And anyways, folks, by the way, this movie sucks. Don't watch it if you haven't yet. Yeah, okay. Anyways, there were good intentions here. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Robert Carradine wants to be in my next movie, I'll cast him in a second. But Hell, if the kid who played Joseph wants to be in my next movie, I'll cast him in a second too, probably. But the basically what ends up happening is Joseph gets mad at Clarence because he's interfering too much. Things started going really well for Rachel and her business, her Dexter business. And so they got a bank loan from a lady that sounded like a man. And
she looks familiar. Was she the same woman that was in Mrs. Doubtfire as the caseworker?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe it wasn't her, though.
I don't think it was. Okay. I think that woman, but she had a similar voice. But anyways, they got the bank loan approved because Clarence started, you know, charismaing it up. I don't know what you want to call that. Being very charismatic.
He's basically doing a bunch of shit that he's not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to change the circumstances of a person's life. No, he's just supposed
to be there to help at certain points, but not fully. But anyways, I don't know what the fuck a guardian angel is supposed to do, but
nothing
in this world. Yet they don't have enough of them, and
exactly.
Heaven's running out of them, and that's what they should have called this movie: Heaven's Running Out of Angels. God.
Oh, okay, but his big speech about the game. All right, so what happened was is that they, as part of the conditions for their new loan, because the guy who, like, her competitor, like, the sleazy business Fred Trump guy, he, like, owns, like, the building that they have their business out of or something, and he needs $50,000 by the end of the week or he's gonna, like, kick him out or whatever. So then they, you know, and then Clarence is like, oh, well, why don't we just get a new loan? And she's like, oh my God, that's brilliant, because she didn't think of that herself. Like, she runs this business, but, you know, some stupid angel comes up with a brilliant idea to get a new loan. And he spins this ridiculous tale about broken clocks and how you don't replace a broken clock, you just fix what's wrong with it. And that's the same thing for a business. And they're like, oh, it's perfect. So then they just give him the loan. But on the condition that they have to sell 50,000 units of the game that's not even fully done yet, which I guess is not that. I mean, a new games, they do that a lot too. Like, they, you know, like,
oh yeah, they put conditions on things. Yeah, and by the way, the competitor, the bad guy, is named Brimmer.
That's right, Brimmer. What a name. And so they try to sell these units, and then Brimmer sabotages the game by hacking into it, I guess, 1990? I don't know. And then
yeah, he's not smart enough to figure shit out for his own games, but he's able to hack this other game.
Yeah, so Dexter is like, you know, he's supposed to be like an educational game, and he's like counting bunny rabbits or something, but then they hacked it to make him start kicking the bunny rabbits, like, into a pile, and everyone's like, they're so mortified, like, I can't believe it. This is the worst thing I've seen in my life. It's, like, really a cartoon kid kicking bunny rabbits. There's, like, no blood. There's nothing. It's just, like a cartoonish type of Tom and Jerry type of thing.
Was this before the whole video game hearings that they had?
This was before, because Mortal Kombat came out in 1993.
Oh, okay. So it was before the real violence in video games started.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, Mortal Kombat was the one that really
set
it off, because you can, like, knock people's heads off. And
I was just saying, I'm trying to figure out why somebody's upset about a little, so appalled at a cartoon character kicking bunnies. Not that I'm saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying, I'm not saying go out and kick bunnies, kids. No. Okay.
But their reaction to it was so, like, excessive.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then Clarence, like, gives, like, this one of his famous speeches about whatever, broken clocks and stupid bullshit. And he's like, I'm sorry you had to see that, but it was necessary because, you know, some people, you know, behave this way, and we should, you know, treat each other with respect. I don't know.
Basically, he was saying, like, you know, we're showing you this so you know what our competition does.
Yeah, like Brimmer, basically, because Brimmer's all about, like, whatever, you know, the kids want cool stuff or, you know, all about entertainment versus educational plus entertainment. Brimmer just wants a game that he knows is going to sell a bunch of units, whereas Dexter is supposed to be this great, life-changing educational game that all you need to do is fix the voice activator and everything will be perfect.
Yes.
Anyway, so then they're like, oh, well, we're going to buy all your blah, blah, blah units. And then Rachel ends up kissing him on the sidewalk on the way to their house, I guess, if you want to.
Because he's living there.
Because he's living there now. Oh, by the way, wearing her dead husband's suit.
Oh, yes.
Which is interesting. To be fair, Tracy, the little girl, had him wear. But come on, dude. Some common sense here. But, I mean, he's an angel, but come on. Would you wear dead angel's wings?
Well, and, he doesn't know any better because he doesn't know what a computer or a vacuum cleaner is. He doesn't know anything is,
yeah.
You know, so.
He figured out how to use a can opener, though. The electric can opener.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't be able to do. I still use
them. I think electric can openers are more confusing than they computers.
They are. I used to use a regular old wind-up one, or whatever you call it. You know. Anyway, so he figured that out, so that's cool. But but then, yeah, so after this big speech, she kisses him. He goes into his bedroom, and then that stupid Joseph kid is sitting there telling him that he's got to fix what he's... Basically, he has to undo all of the cool shit he's done.
Yeah.
To set things back to, like, equal, whatever the balance is supposed to be. So basically, he's got to give this woman an emotional whiplash now, so which actually will make her worse off than she was before he even came to Earth to try to help her. Got it.
Yeah. So then he sits there and he becomes an asshole, basically.
Yeah.
They're at a meeting and he's basically like, oh, you know, I don't know why you want to invest in this company, you know, or thanks for wanting to invest in this company, even though we're losing millions of dollars or whatever bullshit, you know, it's like,
right. Well, I think what he said, because he's like, we haven't sold a single unit yet.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not good. It certainly is a good game. Well, it will be once we figure out
figure out the glitches in it, it'll work fine.
Right? Like all of these like little side comments.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, you're such good-hearted people with so much compassion to invest all this money into a company that's quite frankly almost bankrupt.
Yes. It's
Jesus Christ. So she's, you know, furious with him. And,
yeah. And then anyway, so understandably, and then, you know, they go back home.
Yeah, home.
Home. She basically says, you know, I want you out of here by tomorrow, which is completely understandable. Why you let a fucking stranger live in your house in the first place, I don't get. But,
yeah.
Oh, jeez. Anyways, so it gets to the point where, she goes to try to sell the company to the bad guy, to Brimmer. But her coder or engineer or whatever you want to call it, you know, computer engineer quit, and now he's working for Brimmer. And she goes to try to sell the company to him, but he's come up with his own character named Hexter, which looks exactly like Dexter, except for he's like all violent and wearing armor and bullshit. And then she finds out that, you know, the dude's working for, competition now, and he won't buy the company now, so now she's completely like, you know, they're gonna be broke and having to eat tuna casserole every night. And she basically decides that she wants to kill herself, and so she goes off to go kill herself. She leaves a note for the kids. Clarence finds the note, goes to stop her, basically lets her know that he's an angel, brings down her dead husband to talk to her. She decides not to kill herself. Cheating. I'm telling you, it's not how you do things.
And then,
I mean, in It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey wishes that he was never born, and then sees how bad the world would be without him in it, And then, I mean, that's kind of showing you things, but it actually helps him to realize how important he is to the world.
Right.
This is like, hey, here's your dead husband. He's going to tell you not to kill yourself. Yeah, I did my job.
And then...
No, you didn't. It's like it's like playing with a corked bat it's here. Clarence, it's like
Clarence, you know. That's what Clarence does. He, you know, yeah. That's why he probably. That's why they made him stay up there all this time, because he's gonna fuck everything up every time he does anything. Just go play with your fucking clocks. I know it sounds weird when you say that, because it sounds like, you know.
But anyways, they go back home. She didn't kill herself, but then the boy, what's his name, Brent. He figured out the game and how to make it work. They all say goodbye to Clarence, including the game.
Yeah. And the game almost sounds like the same
voice as the fucking Joseph.
So is Joseph a fucking computer game?
Maybe he is.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean then?
I don't know.
The computer now is an angel? Dexter is an angel?
The computer is an angel.
That, so all these units just
that,
like
that was the working title of Weird Science. No, it wasn't. Yeah. I'm joking. No.
And just saying goodbye, Clarence. Goodbye, Clarence. And
that's all it does.
That's all it says.
That's all it says.
I'm like, okay, so you're just gonna have Dexter just say goodbye, Clarence. That's your game now.
And then, so Clarence leaves. He gets into a cab. Guess who's driving?
Fucking Joseph.
Fucking weird voice Joseph. And Joseph basically tells him, "Hey, you know, here's your wings again," because he had lost them earlier. I forgot about that point.
But they're not real wings.
No, they're like those, like, instead of having, like, real wings, like, you would expect an angel to have, they're like, it's like the little pin that, you know, a stewardess gives a kid when they're flying on a plane for the first time.
Stupid bullshit.
Yeah, I remember getting those, like, on a Delta airline flight to Florida once.
Why would you care so much about that if you're an angel? I mean, you could do anything you want. You want a stupid fucking pin to put on your coat or whatever.
But I guess it means that you're a real angel then.
Whatever. Who cares?
Because he's not a second class
angel.
Who
wants to live up in heaven? It looks like a boring ass place. Bunch of fog everywhere.
Yeah, at least this heaven.
Shitty music that sounds like they're trying to go for some new age meditation stuff, but bad version.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about this heaven, okay, God, if you're listening, because I know God loves my podcasts. I'm just letting you know that I personally have no issues with heaven in itself. So if you want me to live there, that'd be great. Yeah, I'm begging God to let me into heaven on a podcast.
No.
Can I do that?
Whatever.
Is that sacrilegious?
You do whatever you want. I don't care.
Okay. Bring Matt along, too.
Only if it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think heaven is really like 1990 Family Channel Clarence Heaven.
Can we just fix his clocks?
Yes.
Fix his clocks because he loves time. Ugh, this movie sucks so bad.
So
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, but anyways, so you know, and then the credits roll.
Yeah, that's it. The whole movie's over. Like they didn't they do like a thing where they sold the games to anyone or anything.
It was very anticlimactic.
It was, yeah, just it was like it happened. Just snap your fingers and you're done.
So
bullshit.
I would really not recommend watching this movie if you haven't already. I mean, usually I prefer that you watch the movie before you listen to our podcast, but I'm okay if you listen to this without, you know. I know it's bad to say at the end of the podcast, but anyways, we'll be back with some more stuff next time.
Yeah.
Make sure you check us out online and all that good stuff, and let us know what you think. Yeah, bye. I'm sad, Matt.
Me too.
So just remember, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. And every time Matt and I watch a bad movie, I want to kill myself. And then an angel comes and tries to save my life. And then a bell rings and it gets its wings.
God damn it.
God, I hate myself. But I love you, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.